we are.
Okay, call the order. We do have a quorum, and do we? You want to call the order, or do we have to, or not?
Do you want to verbally?
I'm happy to call the roll.
Please. Okay,
thank you.
For my lurky spot in the Francois Avenue.
Yes.
Russ Kronberg.
Yes.
Chris Engel.
Yes.
Andrea Copeland. Emily Kilroy. B. Lizzie Curtin.
Here.
Jennifer Lyon.
Here.
Jip.
Here.
Palakawan.
Here.
Jay Pun. Danny Shea.
Danny's walking in.
Yes.
Amber Smith. Brad Yule. Juan Diego Lee.
Here.
And Darcy, your new Wigan?
Wigan, yeah. Wigan. Thank you. Here.
Okay. And John Wharton.
Good. He's walking in.
Good luck.
Sandwiches.
Only for parties.
I'll mark any
presents.
Okay.
Thank you, Lauren.
All right, next we have industry presentation by Tim Padolino, Chief of Parks Planning, Albemarle County Parks and Rec.
Thank you, Supervisor Lapisso Curtley. Courtney, should I come up here to the podium?
Yeah, I just figured it had locked you out, so
oh, gotcha.
I'll get you back in.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Perfect. I could just wing it.
I hit the arrow, which means it's really lagging if it's not moving forward. Chris Ritter told me not to keep hitting the button. She's smart, but also it's not moving forward.
Can you escape out and see if it's...
Yeah. Go ahead, Tim. I'll catch up with you.
Yeah, sure. Well, everyone, it's great to be here. As was noted, my name is Tim Padolino, the Chief of Parks Planning. Work for County Parks and Recreation, and it's just a privilege to get to serve our community in that way, you know, working on fun things like parks and greenways and recreational experiences. I've got a lot of background in land use and zoning, and I really enjoy getting to work in the outdoor recreation space. And today we're going to talk about Biscuit Run Park. It's going to be a new county park, and I've kind of got a bunch of slides to go through for some background information, because I know that we've had Biscuit Run Park on discussion for a long time, but it might be helpful just to provide some clarifying information. I can talk about phase one park plans in terms of what's under construction now and when we can expect to get in and have some public use and enjoyment. And then I want to work in a little bit of greenways planning at the end, because greenway connectivity is really important for all of our communities and all of our neighborhoods, but especially important when it comes to Biscuit Run Park. So as far as introductory comments, I just want to say that Albemarle's Parks and Recreation Department is focused on balancing recreational experiences with environmental stewardship. I'm not going to read you our mission statement, but that's really the gist, is trying to have opportunities to recreate from home, a unique park system, but always trying to balance stewardship and recreation. And that's true of all of our projects. I wanted to make sure we all know where Biscuit Run Park will be. In terms of location, it's on the south side of Charlottesville, in Albemarle's southern development area. And this is a 1,190-acre assemblage of properties. It's by far the largest county park. On the east side here is Route 20 or Scottsville Road, and then Old Lynchburg Road is sort of on the western side. And the northern edge kind of comes up between Southwood and some existing residential neighborhoods off of Avon. Interestingly, this portion is in the development area, and then south of this unnamed tributary, that's all in the county's rural areas. So it really is on the fringe of our urban core. Great access to wilderness quality, forested foothills, so close in to so many different neighborhoods and other destinations. Need to make sure we understand that this is a county park, not a state park, but it's a property that is owned by the state. So the county entered a 99-year lease in 2018, so we've gone through 6 years of planning and construction documentation and pandemics and other interruptions. So I'm really pleased to say that we're close to opening. But just want to make sure we understand this is a property that's owned by the Commonwealth and leased to the county. Shortly after signing that lease in 2018, the county undertook a pretty robust public engagement process and came up with a park master plan. This included meetings and surveys and other feedback opportunities. And it's really important with such a large property that's going to take decades to build out to have a well-constructed plan to work towards. So this has been, like I said, informed with public process, adopted by the County Board of Supervisors, and approved by the State Department of Conservation and Recreation. So even to this day, we still get questions about equestrian or about campgrounds or other things that were originally included in the park master plan for the state, but now that it's going to be a county park, it's a little bit different. So this is a slide that has a lot of information, and I know that at this scale, it's not entirely legible, but this is just a glimpse at the approved park master plan. Again, about 1,200 acres are represented on this map. For orientation purposes, this is Route 20 over here again. This is Old Lynchburg Road. Hickory Street kind of comes in past the Covenant School in Southwood. So right now, we are working on a number of different projects represented on this overall park master plan, but I was going to skip ahead to look at phase one in particular. So these diagrams represent which portions are going to be available and accessible when the park opens. You can see on the left there, phase one is about 550 acres. We have other tracts or other portions that are not going to be immediately available. We do understand that some people are using areas as backcountry trails, but there's really no fire rescue access. The response times, or honestly the response prospects, are challenging there. So we're really encouraging people not to go beyond where we're having publicly managed and maintained trails. And speaking of trails, in the middle you can see kind of a framework plan that shows a couple loop trails. When the park opens later this year, we're going to have a trailhead here and one main loop trail about 3.5 miles completed, and then several other miles of minor multi-use trails, totaling about 8.5 miles when we open. If you caught the news this morning, you probably saw Abby Stumpf, our communications and public engagement officer, mentioned 4.5 miles. That was just something that got lost in translation. But we'll have between 8 and 9 miles when the park opens later this year. And then as we complete that north loop, in the next 12 to 18 months, we'll have a total of 12 miles. And I'll just mention that those mileage totals do not include the two bike areas that were planned as part of the master plan process. These are not going to be multiple use trails. These are bike-only areas. So we expect to have over 1.5 miles of downhill trails at the eastern bike area. And then there's another 30 or so acres of a second bike area where there's going to be cross-country flow trails, maybe less features and less jumps, but overall another great opportunity to draw people in.
I'm sorry, quick question.
Yes.
Point of clarification. Mountain bike versus regular bikes, is that what you're talking about, or mountain bike?
I would say probably mountain bikes are the only types of bicycles that would work well out here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Thank you.
I mean, maybe there's other categories like hybrid bikes or gravel bikes.
I didn't catch it all. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question. Thank you. So before we get into great detail on any particular project, I wanted to make sure, so this is the entire park property, and you can tell the difference over here. This is just phase one. So I wanted to put these side by side to show that one of the organizing principles for this park is environmental planning. So that's true of all park planning. You have to balance recreation and stewardship. But we've identified areas that need to be basically protected from any recreational impacts. The pattern is that these are the headwater tributaries that kind of flow from east to west down into Biscuit Run itself. That's the main waterway that goes through the park. So some of these tributaries have very sensitive plant communities, wildlife habitat, so they're going to be protected for scientific use and just for stewardship. And then I also want to point out the county's stream restoration project in the very northern portion of the park. This is not a parks and recreation project, but we're working closely with our project managers in facilities and environmental services to make sure that we coordinate their environmental remediation work with our recreational development. So that's planned to begin construction this winter. It's over 1 mile of stream restoration. That's like a very ambitious stretch or length to kind of repair the creek and connect it to the floodplain that surrounds it. whereas right now it's very entrenched down into its waterway. And that's not healthy for the water, it's not healthy for the wildlife habitat or the forest. A couple things I can mention over here, in terms of projects that are underway in phase one, the big one that you're hearing about is the Route 20 entrance and trailhead, that's off of Scottsville Road, of course. It's going to have 75 spaces for parking, it's going to have restrooms, and be the gateway into what will initially be a trails park. We're going to be done with that and open before the end of the year, hopefully in December. In fact, as soon as I leave here, I'm going to Biscuit Run to Route 20 to meet an interdepartmental team and figure out when we're opening and all those sorts of details. But there are other projects coming close behind that over at Route 20 that I'll mention. So one of them is grass athletic fields, natural grass athletic fields. After we get the trailhead built and open, we're going to extend the access road up the hill behind that, grade that hillside and put in some soccer fields. We're also going to build a maintenance shop and yard, have that enclosed for operational use, and then just continue building out the phase one trail network. I mentioned a few minutes ago we'll have 8.5 miles at opening, and then we'll expand to 12 as part of phase one. And that's because we need to build boardwalks across the mouths of these resource protection areas so that we can bring people into these interesting, unique habitats without impacting the environment. And then you can see over here in a little bit better detail the downhill bike area and the bent tree bike area. And of course, one of y'all's board members is Jip, and I know she's a board member of CAMBIC, Charlottesville Area Mountain Bike Club. So if you want to speak at all about the downhill bike area partnership that we're working on, that would be great.
I have notes on all these. Hi, over here in the corner. So I'm not very good at public speaking, so apologies. But so just want to kind of reiterate a few things is that mountain biking is actually a really huge growing recreational activity, and we are a really significant contributor of visitor revenue for many towns across the country. I would also say that the mountain bike community is one of the most engaged volunteer communities all around. As far as Biscuit Run is concerned, we at CAMBIC are donating $80,000 to this. We had set our goal to raise $80,000 by December 1st, and we are now at $76,000 in 3 weeks.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So this is what the community wants. A lot of times people don't realize that, but every high school has a team. Mm-hmm. I work for Blue Ridge Cycling, obviously, and our team that we sponsor is the Charlottesville Racing Club Junior Mountain Biking Team. We have 150 kids. We are currently number one in the state for the middle schoolers. You know, our high school team, that is CRC, is number three. I want to say either Miller or Monticello is number one, but don't quote me on that. Please don't repeat that. Because I'm not sure, and I should know that. The majority of the races occur in Central Virginia. It is Miller School, Woodbury Forest, Monticello High School, all have courses that everybody comes to ride. And when I say everybody, we're talking over 300 plus families, not just individuals, but their families. When they come in, they're going to need to eat. Sometimes if they have morning races at 8 or 9 a.m., they're going to need to stay in hotels, you know, Airbnbs, whatever, what have you. Yes, some of them do camp, but at the same time, they're buying gas, they're buying all kinds of things in our community. So we do have a lot. We just had a huge race at Woodbury Forest last weekend, not this past one, but last weekend. And then in regards to Biscuit Run Loan, the notes I have that we came up with, is that it's going to have the only progressive jump lines in Central Virginia that's on public lands. Everything else is already on private property or something where people have to pay to go to. We're going to have the only pump track in the Seville metro area because there's no other ones. Pocahontas does have it as far as dual slalom. So the dual slalom, if you're not aware, is when two racers race at the same time going down. So we're going to actually have that. It's the only one within an hour radius of the area because Pocahontas is the only other place that has one. It's going to be an attraction where people can session things, and what sessioning means is that you just kind of practice an area over and over again, even if you're doing cross-country riding. So you have there's a skills area that they're going to be able to kind of play around and practice it and increase their knowledge of that. And then it's going to, at once it's done planned, there's going to be multiple accesses from the community, not just by car, but there'll be people will be able to bike there by different various routes. Yeah. I mean, it's something that we at Camden have been working on quite a bit, and so we're pretty stoked that it's really like 4 or 5,000 away from median release. I mean, we did have a matching of 20, but and then this is actually, we're funding it and we're actually gifting it to Alamo County Public Parks and Rec.
Yeah, thanks, Jip. It's such an exciting project. We're proud to have Cambic as a partner, and it's amazing the amount of not just the fundraising, but the labor that goes into county parks from Cambic and city parks and UVA. I mean, it's a great organization, and we're appreciative of not just kind of partnering, but almost co-producing. You know?
And just a note, when we do our trail days, it can be anywhere between 10 to 50 people that come out and help work on these trails, and these are all bikers. Sometimes runners, not often very many hikers, but it's like, you know, like we had one that I think they had almost 60 or 70 people, and it was all the local schools, the mountain bike teams that came out to help out. So there's a lot of, everybody wants to ride these things, so they come out and help with that.
Yeah, and what's cool is a lot of the volunteer work is going to multi-use trails. So Cambic is not coming out just to help with bike trails, but with trails that benefit the whole community. Which I think is really generous and wise. Yeah, and with that, we are basically permitting the stormwater management and the land disturbance details for kind of paving, well, I shouldn't say paving the way, but getting that project ready for construction. And we hope to start later this winter, over like the second half of winter, if we can get all the engineering details worked out this fall and early winter. And we're on track to do that, so... Your fundraising is ahead of schedule.
Yes.
Well, I'll just say that a couple other minor things to note about phase one of Biscuit Run Park. We've got some interpretive signage that's going to be going in next year. That's possible with the support from the Public Lands Foundation. And then what else did I not touch on? Oh, well, I can say medium range plans. We're going to have a second park entrance and access point on the northwest side of the park property over here at Hickory Street. That's going to be hopefully another 75 parking spaces along the shoulder with dedicated pedestrian access, you know, on the safe side of the parking to get into an ADA accessible trail down into the park across a 220-foot long bridge and connecting in with the park's trail network. So that's scheduled to begin next fall if all stays on track.
Is that the one that connects to Southwood?
Well, that would be a separate trail. Okay. That is an unfunded project, but it is part of the park master plan.
Got it.
There was a paved circulator trail that was supposed to be around the entire perimeter. And this is one segment from Hickory Street going down along Biscuit and then hooking into Southwood there. Okay. That would be the first opportunity to start to implement the paved circulator trail.
Thank you.
Yeah, great question. Thank you. Just really quickly, going to transition from details to maybe more characteristics of the park. On one hand, it's just another county park, but on the other hand, it's unique in its own right. So right now, there are already old farm roads and other minor trails that have been implemented.
Giggle.
Yeah, correct.
Good impressive, guys.
Yeah, wing it. And this, you know, there's all kinds of different trails in terms of width and steepness and setting, so it's just going to be a great place to explore. There's really interesting geology out there, a lot of boulders and outcrops, and this is not unique only to Biscuit Run, but there's a lot of quartz out there. So as you go along the trail, you see a lot of white rocks and a lot of rocks with like veins and other kind of unique details, so that's fun. Obviously, most of this property is forested, including great landmark trees like that southern red oak specimen, and just all the deep, dark woods you can possibly want. There's a lot of great flowering plant species out there, like the pink lady slipper and huge stands of mountain laurel, which bloom in May and June. There's a large former agricultural pond, which has been enlarged by beavers, which have built up the lip of the pond embankment, and it's gotten to be much larger. And in fact, in this picture, you can see two different beaver lodges. There's one here and a second one there. And we were told by a wildlife biologist, either one of those would qualify as some of the biggest beaver lodges he's ever seen, and to have two of them side by side is extremely unique. And they are active. They are changing the waterways out there. We have had to change our trails plan to accommodate their activity. So it's been pretty interesting. And then there's a ton of freshwater resources in Biscuit Run Park, including the namesake waterway on the right. That's a segment that will be restored through that project I mentioned. And then on the left is an image of one of those very sensitive tributary streams that have special plant communities and other special features. And throughout the park, you're likely to see some pretty cool wildlife. I have seen a beaver one time. It was a very startling encounter. Lots of eastern box turtles. There's also a spotted turtle that is present out there. It's sort of a unique species for this area. I think there might be one more, Courtney. Okay, we'll just transition out with a comment about connectivity. As Jip mentioned, it's really important that we can get to this park not only by driving, but by riding bikes, walking, running, from the communities that surround the park property. So when I joined Parks and Rec 4 years ago, we were already working on a connection from the park to Fifth Street Station, joining in close to where Wegmans is located. And you have to cross private properties, and we're still working on obtaining the necessary public access easements there. But there's a really strong pull to connect this giant park to Fifth Street Station, where the Rivanna Trail is, and then there's connectivity to many different neighborhoods, not just in the county, but also in the city. But over the past year or so, I would say that focus has expanded a little bit to not just be about, okay, park to shopping center, but what else should be a part of this connectivity effort? And really, you can see it's Fifth Street Station, Biscuit Run Park, Hickory Street to Southwood. And that maybe is a little bit more of the complete vision for connectivity and being able to have that bike ped access throughout the southern development area and into the city of Charlottesville. We're going to connect in with a very large VDOT project at Wegmans. They've got over $10 million to create two bike ped bridges and a paved ADA accessible trail from Fifth Street Station down to the waterways and then over to the Rivanna Trail. So this sets up that future greenway connection to the park and to Southwood exceptionally well. And that was all I really had prepared to share. I'm happy to take any questions that anybody might have.
So you might not be able to answer this, but why does the Commonwealth own that much land just out in the middle of the county?
How much time?
Or why did they?
Yeah.
It is a big backstory.
Yeah.
It's a big backstory.
I think the short version of the big backstory is that it was going to, at one point, be one of the largest residential planned communities in Albemarle County's history. Like, think of Old Trail.
Okay.
And then that was around 07, 08 when that recession hit. And the owners at that time, Forest Lodge LLC, I think they put the property into easement and then either sold or gifted it to the Commonwealth.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
So once DCR realized we're not going to develop this, they turned to the local partners and set us up to have the land as long as we could bring the funding and develop and operate it.
And to that point, so not to be the wet blanket, but a lot of Parks and Rec budget, from my understanding, comes through the TOT, Transit Occupancy Tax, if I'm not mistaken.
A portion of it.
Maybe it's not large, but...
Yeah. Like $10.
So, yeah. Open the books, B. So, Jip did a good job of talking about mountain biking specific, and especially as you open up some really what seem like they're going to be some unique trails for mountain biking that are unlike others in our area, bringing tourists possibly and people that are going to eat at restaurants and such. But generally, how do we look at programming of parks in a way that can drive tourism and benefit all of our partners in ways that, especially if our tax dollars or our transient dollars are going to funding the operations mm-hmm. and yeah. planning and development and such like that? Maybe this is outside your wheelhouse as well, but
it probably overlaps with what the CACVB staff are doing and what we do at the county. But I mean, it's really about promotion. I think it's about enhancing and making accessible what we do have, and about expanding and connecting what we kind of have planned. I kind of go off the cuff here and just say that I'm proud to be a Central Virginian, and our like food and beverage industries are unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Our live arts performance industries are incredible. Our heritage tourism, right? Like, you can't make that up. That's just kind of second to none. But I think the outdoor rec industry is like a little bit behind where those are in their gold standard status. So it would be awesome if we could kind of complement that and bring that up and have another reason to draw people in for multi-night stays and really kind of amplify the economic impact.
I don't mountain bike, but I understand that Roanoke is a big I guess competitive set, like destination for a lot of those types of activities. Mm-hmm. And their county parks and rec does a really great job of programming and bringing these festivals and mm-hmm. stuff to that area. Is that what we're hoping some of these assets and things we can do the same?
I think so. Yeah, I think especially with longer distance trails, like Greenway trails, the chance to have, like, was it biathlons or duathlons, like,
yeah.
run along the river and paddle down or something. But yeah, events would be a big part of economic activity, I think.
Yeah, I like that.
But I think something that we talk about a lot with Outdoor Rec locally is the interconnectivity of the trails, because without the loop, Ragana Trail being complete, without the connectivity to that trail, the opportunity is really limited in what you're able to do just at a singular park, or at least that's my understanding.
And I think, that's true, Courtney, and I think those types of local attractions then complement like the federal lands that we have, the Parkway, the Appalachian Trail, Shenandoah. It's kind of the best of both worlds in that respect.
I do feel like Charlottesville has the potential for things like Roanoke. I have lots of friends that live in Roanoke. You also can take a look at Bentonville as well, if you're from the north of Bentonville. And because in the past meetings, we talked about weekday people coming in during the week. People go for weeks. Their whole family vacation is there for a week so that they can specifically ride bikes, because the whole family rides, right? So those are the kind of things. And maybe a lot of people don't know, people do come here to ride. Sore spot, but they used to love to come to Ragged. Not you
at all.
But you know, people do come from all over. Richmond, Lynchburg, you know, Northern Virginia, they come here for that. They go to Massanutten, which is only 45 minutes away. We've got a huge on the Massanutten Western Slope, we've got a huge women's event coming up. The second weekend in November, I believe it is, and it's going to be women from all over the state coming for clinics and things like that, because they can host these things out there. So that would be a great goal for the area, to be able to do those things. And when they come, they're not just always camping. Granted, we like to camp, it's a thing, but at the same time, though, I eat lots of good food. I am a foodie by heart, and so I will always eat great food. I love staying in great hotels, finding new bed and breakfasts. I mean, Bentonville has these little places that it's tiny homes, and you just go and you rent that for a week, because you're never there. You're just there to sleep, but you're out and about eating and biking and things like that. So the sport is really huge. I mean, our kids on our junior mountain biking team range from 8 to high school. Once they get to high school, they have to ride for their respective high schools, because every high school has a team. So you think about those 8-year-olds, I'm selling bikes to 7-year-olds who are like waiting to get to the age that they can ride with everyone else. And it's a family thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the parents will come out, they'll pedal, and, you know, obviously I'm tooting the bicycle for them, but it's biking along with like golf is a lifelong sport.
Yeah.
It's things that you can do for the rest of your life. Not saying you can't do other things, but just, you know, it's one of those things. I ride with a 75-year-old man and he mountain bikes, you know. Dave Stackhouse, who is part of camping, he is 77, and he is an avid mountain biker. He is always out there building trails. He is out there moving rocks. I mean, we've got a huge thing going on at Mid Springs right now, so there are a lot of people out there. And I know a lot of doctors, lawyers, you know, yes. Like everybody bikes, even though a lot of people don't realize.
I mean, excellent presentation on the creation of it. Mm. Who do you envision as the marketing of these products once they are created? Is that the Parks Department, or do you create, you envision CACBB marketing it? I mean, it's great to build it, but, you know, like Field of Dreams, if you build it, they will come.
That's a great question. I mean, I think, I'll take the first stab at that, I think the simple informational marketing would be for the county, right? We'll put out maps, we'll have information on our webpage. For like promotional marketing, I think the Visitors Bureau would be an obvious leader in that respect.
Word of mouth is huge. Yeah. I'm just going to tell you now, like everybody knows about Biscuit, everybody is excited. I've managed the social stuff for Campig, and we're still getting, you know, when is Thrive opening up? Or when will Biscuit start? And things like that. So it's a lot of word of mouth because the community itself is really, really involved. So it's, you don't even really have to.
But it probably will require some sustaining.
Oh, absolutely.
Beyond
absolutely.
The newness of it.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, like, you know, this family rides and then they bring another family into it. You know, I just sold a bike to a lady today who's like, yeah, we want to start riding, and my husband needs one too, so then we can start doing, you know, different trails and things like that. So that's, I feel like that's where a lot of it's, oh, my neighbor rides. They sent me to come take a look and see because we want to join in what they're doing.
Okay, Brad?
I was just going to say, too, I think beyond even just the biking, like, there's this overall narrative about, like, the interconnectivity, and there's the project with the bridge over the river from Darden Tow, and there's VDOT's doing all this stuff kind of connecting the university to Boar's Head. Like, all of that, I think, feeds itself a little bit where it starts to feel like it's not just these independent destinations around the county. It's one big ecosystem that I think there is. And I don't think it's just the TOT that's paying for that, right? Like, it's the VDOT, it's, I don't even remember where that bridge project is right now.
Yeah, the county doesn't budget, there's the TOT that goes to the CACBB by state code or county code or a combination of the two. But the rest of it just goes to the general funds. But I just pulled up our capital plan, and there's almost $10 million worth of projects underway to get the park open and continue to build out the park. So committed funds that are really, truly going to come to bear. I think Tim was very, very kind in how he described how the county came to lease that parkland. But the state said they were going to build a park. They did a master plan process to design a park, and then they just said, guess what, we don't have any money either. And it was leadership from the Board of Supervisors who said, this is a 1,200-acre natural area that on the edge of the county's development area that we need. We feel like we have a responsibility to make available to the people of the county and the region. And the whole purpose for investing $10 million into opening this park was really understanding that this was a regional asset and that we didn't want to wait for the state to eventually get it to a point where they would open it. And we get to have a lot of local control, which opens up opportunities for Campig partnerships that you may or may not have had if it was a state park. So I think the county did prioritize during the pandemic when we were cutting lots of capital projects. Biscuit Run stayed on the top of the list because the board said this was really important to us and we didn't want to lose any more momentum on opening the park. And I think they did see this as being a big tourism asset that we look forward. I think we're all just really excited to see it open.
And I think there's opportunities for doing a lot more because it is so popular, and I didn't know all the figures until I got involved with Ragged Mountain. But, you know, now I understand how important it is, and I know soccer fields were also important, but I don't think in the near future, if ever, we're going to have, you know, one of those big soccer stadium things where, you know, with multiple fields and everything like that, like I think Richmond has. Mm-hmm. They have something like that. Because I should be near a freeway, good access on and off. And I don't think we're going to have that, so I see big opportunity for expanding mountain biking. And
just to be fair, it's not just mountain biking either. I mean, obviously, and, like, I'm talking about that because I'm a mountain biker, Tim's a mountain biker, so, you know, we definitely love riding. But it's also, you know, like, Campig also builds hiker trails.
Yes.
So, like,
oh,
we're,
yes,
you know,
yes,
it's
yes.
just, we're not, It's not just for us.
Right.
It's for the entire community. And
right.
That's really the key, too.
It is. Walkers. And that's what we, as a visitors bureau, that's what we can really publish. And that's what we can advertise. That's what we can really push. Come to this area, Charlottesville and Albemarle, for the scenic beauty and recreational activities.
Also dovetails with the master plan we just passed.
Mm-hmm. That was it's like we read other plans when we made ours.
Yeah.
Tim, two questions.
Sure.
The trails that you mentioned, are they intended to be mountain bike only? They're designed that way?
Only in the bike areas, and they'll be custom built, purpose designed. Everywhere else it's multi-use.
Okay.
We are intending to do a pedestrian-only area, but that particular zone is just so infested with invasives that we can't do anything like for anybody, for any use, until, I don't know if we need to burn it or forest mulch it or some combination, but it's like crawl on your hands and knees thick with invasives.
Okay.
But that's close to the Route 20 like activity areas and trailheads, so that would be a nice place to have a bike-only area, a pedestrian-only area, and then all the multi-use trails kind of connecting everything.
And then the other question, you mentioned that half of it's in the development area, half's maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
Some conversation about replacing that. I know that's out of your wheelhouse, but maybe it's
have
me.
Have you been speaking with Mr. Williamson?
Well, he's not here, so I thought I'd ask on his behalf. Because obviously that's not going to be developed.
Yeah, I think the entire property is under some type of restriction, like the Virginia Open Space Lands Act.
Yeah.
It has to be recreation. It has to be public access.
Right.
It's not a conservation easement per se. So anything that would be done to counteract that in terms of land use wouldn't happen here.
Right. No, I'm not asking that.
Yeah, we can't
develop
it.
Will it happen somewhere else?
Right. I don't have an answer. That's a good question.
Yeah, we're not going to, I don't see us developing that other than for recreational purposes, if that's what you're asking.
No, I'm asking, are you going to replace the lost acreage in this, because this was in the development area.
Right.
It's
no.
not going to be developed. Are you going to replace
no.
it somewhere else?
No.
Okay.
Are we expanding the development area? No. Not at this time.
Okay.
No. Just thought I'd come out
come
and
on,
say
it.
Am I correct?
Well. You heard it here first.
Are there parks in the county or city that have expansive bike trails?
There aren't. There's a bike-oriented trail at Pretty Creek, the Edward Valentine Loop, and it's signed that it's welcome for all users, but there's some features and some sort of braided trails that are really just for bikes.
Right.
But
so
I've run
really
those, I've walked those.
Is that a distinguishing factor for this park, you think?
I think it's a distinguishing factor for our county park system, really, and
yeah.
for a lot of parks in the area. I know Jip was touching on that people will go to Harrisonburg or to Pocahontas near Richmond or Roanoke to get some of these types of features and experiences, but this will be a nice draw to serve the local demand and also draw in outsiders and visitors.
Turn into more of a destination.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think like branding those areas outside of the park, just so it doesn't get lost, you know, to make it more pronounced?
I think so. Like the,
I don't know, having some kind of name for it.
Sign or logo or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's worth exploring that. We would want to keep it consistent with general county park marketing
oh, yeah.
and everything, but mm-hmm. it would be good to elevate that and sort of promote that, yeah.
You're not talking about naming rights or anything.
No.
Oh, okay.
But he was hoping you'd name it, you'd nominate his name.
Yeah.
yeah.
yeah. yeah. Branding it,
the
I think,
Danny
would
Shane
be
awesome. Yeah,
we'll have to check the land lease first.
yeah.
I have a question if anyone knows this answer, because I know there's regular bicycles. There are electric bicycles, which I've only ridden twice and fallen off twice. And then there are mountain bikes. So do they have trails for each?
No. It's usually the multi-use trail. I mean, the thing is that it's right at your own risk on some of these things. We usually recommend mountain bikes because they are going to be better going. It's like you don't want to take a Honda Accord on a Jeep trail.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to take a Jeep, which has got bigger tires and got suspension
okay.
and so forth. You're not going to drive a car through there.
Right.
So therefore, you're not going to ride a road bike through these kind of trails. It's going to
right.
need to be something
okay.
that is beefy enough to get through over like some rocks and roots and things like that.
So the multi-use trails would be for regular bikes and electric bikes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And mountain bikes.
And mountain bikes.
Pardon? And mountain bikes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the mountain bike trails are only for mountain bikes.
There, I would say the only distinction is bicycle only or multi-use, and then if you're going to be riding a bike, as Jip is saying, you probably need to be on a mountain bike to survive the terrain.
Get a bike on the trail, it is a mountain bike.
I think what you're asking though is the electric side of it, right? It's being open to electric.
So there's, there's electric road bikes, electric hybrid bikes, and there are also electric mountain bikes.
Oh my God.
No one's going to be kicking anyone.
Show bike.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
No,
it's just ride at your risk.
It's not, yeah, I mean, it's just. Right.
But there is going to be a quiz at the end, so.
and when you do open, I don't know if you covered this earlier, but in terms of the county police, will there be additional security? I mean, will this be a safe park?
Oh, it'll, yes. I think we'll be sure to make sure there's safety at the forefront. We're working on developing a Parks Ambassadors program. So not just, hey, come out for a volunteer day on Saturday, but repeat volunteer commitments just to have people roving, maybe picking up trash if they see something, calling if they see something that's wrong. But yeah, I think just like our other county parks, there'll be occasional police patrol.
I'm sure when you started this, before you got to this point, you had a lot of neighborhood weigh-in from all the. Have you gone back out with your road show to Lake Southwood? And I say that because we live in this area, so I'm very excited about this. But you know, as part of like the Mountain View school community, oftentimes we'll go to Southwood to bring information to make sure they get it, and then they feel more involved with what we're doing, like at the school, let's say. So you're talking about ambassadors, and if their neighborhood's going to butt up to the park, what better group of people to go to and say, this is going to be a beautiful space, but we need your help to do it. All the neighborhoods, not just Southwood, but anyone that neighbors that, just take a little bit more ownership in the space because it's in their backyard, right?
Yeah.
But I think this would, I'm sure people are aware of it, but if you got the opportunity to go back out to some of those folks, I think they'd get even more.
Yeah, they're Southwood, they're the ones that are pushing for the connectivity.
Yeah, I bet.
To the
I'm sure.
park, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a good question and some good suggestions. And we have worked with Habitat more so than Southwood directly, but you know, it's all blended.
Like our Mountain View, we have a PTO meeting tomorrow, but we're going into Southwood to, you know, and then they just are proud of their space and then they're more invested in coming back to the meeting the next go round when it's at the school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we've gone to the 5th and Avon Community Advisory Committee, which, you know, those include representatives from different neighborhoods and subdivisions and businesses and other aspects. And we've been working closely with Southwood and Habitat on a park that the county is building in Southwood called Monacan Indian Nation Tribute Park. It's kind of a pocket park. It's not going to be large in size, but it will be located to be a gateway out of Southwood and into the park and vice versa. So that's kind of an emerging point of coordination between the county and Southwood.
Okay. Any other questions of Tim? Any closing statement?
Come on out and enjoy Biscuit Run Park when we open later this year.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. And you don't have to be on a mountain bike. You can be bird watching. You can be trail running. You can be walking your dog on a leash. But honestly, the bird watching thing is big. So not just for recreation, but it's an economic thing too. I'm sure you all know that. But
yeah.
There aren't plans for an off-leash area right now. That's a good question. But that's something we can take under advisement. I'll pass that on.
And some residents have asked us to put in equestrian trail, but there are no plans for that.
No plans for that, yeah.
So. Okay.
Well, thank you all so much.
Thank you very much. Thanks, appreciate it. Thanks, Tim.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah. Next, we have our consent agenda, approval of previous meeting minutes, if I can have a motion for approval.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Do we need a roll call?
No.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Okay. Thank you. Item B, the financial statement. We just need approval for that.
Yep.
If I could have a motion for approval of the financial statement.
I move for approval of the financial statement.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Okay. Thank you very much. Next, we have our director's report. Take it away, Courtney.
All right. Mm-hmm. We have had a busy fall, as we always do here. We hosted the Capital Region Global Travel Exchange. We had a lot of partners participate. Really excited to host all of those international tour operators here. It's a great opportunity for us to educate our partners on how to get into the international space, and then also educate our tour operators on how to make those connections. So really excited to see where that goes. People were really impressed by our area. It's been in Annapolis, it's been in DC, and they were just blown away, which we knew they would be, but it was great to see. There are several of us who have celebrated now 5 years of the CACBB being with the county, so I'm glad that we've had such a stable team. That said, we just hired a content manager, so she started today. She's at county orientation, so she's not here, but we have a full team again. Really excited about that. I was speaking at all sorts of random conferences in the past month, but it was great to be able to connect with the VESA group. They're the zoning officials for all over the Commonwealth. The Rivanna River Conservation Conference, which was a conversation about outdoor rec locally. And then we've also been attending several Virginia Wine Month celebrations. So, been very busy. We also talked to our Go Virginia Region 9 partners. Go Virginia Region 9 is the area that we're in for economic development. Doesn't entirely make sense for partnership regionally with tourism because we have two different wine regions represented. We have some other kind of conflicts as far as a cohesive regional marketing message, but it's great to have those conversations with them. Most of my counterparts do what Chris and Emily do and tourism because their counties are a lot smaller, so they're wearing both hats, and it's not the same for us. So anyway, trying to make sure that we are building solid connections with our regional partners. Just a little bit. We're going to be hosting our Welcome Center familiarization tour. We're really excited to host those people who work in all the Welcome Centers all over the Commonwealth here. We have our tour guide training coming up in person on November 18th. If you are interested and haven't gotten a chance to take our online training, it's still available. But that will be kind of the end of that initiative. So it's our in-person opportunity. I'll be heading out to the Social Inclusion Summit next week, which is why we're meeting today and not next week. The VA One Governor's Tourism Summit is coming up next month. And just as a reminder, we do have an earlier than usual board meeting for December to avoid the holidays. All right, our hotel occupancy rates continue to be a little bit soft. I know I usually get a preview of September between when I have to publish this and those reports arrive, and I know that September was a little bit soft too. Our average daily rates are above where they've been. They continue to be. And our revenue per available room is right about where it was for 2023. So we think that things are normalizing a bit, whatever the new normal is. I know we've overused that phrase, but it really is, we're starting to see that pressure from the rates impacting occupancy. And so we're going to have to figure out where that happy spot is. And I see the hoteliers nodding a whole lot. Damon, any more color that you guys want to add?
Francois?
Well, I do think, I mean, this month, talking about normalizing, I think that we're seeing like, the trend back to 2019 level and the seasonality coming back. And you're entirely right with the rate. I think all of us in the market, at least the downtown market, had to really moderate rates in order to continue to really like drive that occupancy. I know that, you know, like the first from June through the end of September was a little bit softer in both occupancy and rate. Although I'm pleased to see that the forecast for Q4, at least my hotel and the competitive set that's really downtown, we're seeing, you know, like great increase in both occupancy, and we are able to drive ADR a little bit higher towards than where we were last year, not necessarily up to where we were anticipating to be, if that makes sense. But yes, so far this month is a great month, and November looks good. So.
We have access to CoStar data, thank you to the county, in a different way that we've had before. So we had training on that on Friday, so we should be able to share a little bit more of the projection data that I haven't had access to before. So I'm excited about that. It'll also help us keep track of the pipeline for what's coming on board and the new rooms that'll hit the market. We also had a call on Friday with AirDNA, which keeps track of, it scrapes the data for Airbnb, VRBO, and we believe Stay Charlottesville, because that was one of our questions to them. And that will help us understand the breadth of inventory that we have here. My main question in that is, do we have rooms coming online for UVA football that go away the rest of the time? Do the rooms come on market when there's demand, or are they out there all the time, and what are they selling for? So we're hoping, it is not an inexpensive report, and to be able to do that, to get daily data instead of monthly. I don't actually think the monthly data will help us at all. So the daily data is about a $10,000 buy. So happy to take questions on that or take side comments on it later, but we are considering pursuing that just so we have a better idea of the ecosystem here. I think that'll help with the city and the county knowing how many are in inventory and with our hoteliers knowing what they're going for.
Question, would you differentiate between homestays and also regular hotels or just hotels?
So no hotel data would be in AirDNA. It would all be short-term rentals or in the county homestays.
Okay, and yeah. The county would be very much interested in knowing that because we also search for those who are not registered.
And there's Airbnb. GPS data that you all have GIS systems that can actually figure out where those things are. We don't. Yeah. But we would get listings for where all of those things, where all of those homes are located. Good. So it would be a bonus to the city and the county.
Thank you.
Quoting $10,000 for what?
Year. Okay. Thank you for asking. Mm-hmm. Clarifying question.
I speak per day.
Yeah. Oh, man.
$15,000.
Send you out walking.
So your CoStar subscription will have the forward looking projection data as
it
well?
It goes about 18 months.
Yeah.
We don't really know. I don't know how much confidence I have in it yet.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. But we do have forward-looking data. They said it's a mix of projection and actuals.
Yeah.
But they won't say what mix or who or any of that. And I know to a certain extent we have to keep those things private. But I like to track data and study it a little bit more before I feel like I'm confident in it. But we'll definitely run it by our two hoteliers to make sure that it tracks with what you all are seeing. All right. Cool. We've been busy. I won't read the slide to you all. Brantley has been a marketing team of one since sometime in August. We had Linnea got another job. We have the other marketing person out on maternity leave, and she'll be back in December. So he has been really powering through. So this is a reflection of what he specifically has been up to for this bit of time. We are working on an RFP for a marketing agency to help us with the rebrand, so that will be coming up in the next little bit. Here are some... Ooh, shoot. Sorry. It's live, and it's opening all the windows. That's cool. All right. Content highlights, and then our social media spotlight. So... We when the Blue Ridge Parkway was closed during the hurricane, I wanted to make sure that we were communicating to our visitors, especially because it was anticipated to be, you know, a busy weekend. We had our travel specialist look at how many rooms were available on Expedia, Airbnb, and VRBO, so we had an idea of where we could send folks if they came here. And then we also communicated out through our social media channels and a banner on our website about the Blue Ridge Parkway being closed. As you'll see here, we had that shared a whole lot of times, so we definitely saw the need for this. Because while it's not necessarily the most positive marketing message, we're definitely wanting our visitors to be aware of what they're getting when they arrive. Luckily, our part of the parkway wasn't closed for very long, and everything is open and acting as usual. And then in August, Brantley went to MAPRA in Roanoke and met with a number of different journalists, influencers, and content creators. And right after that, he brought them here and hosted them through the weekend on a media marketplace tour, which was really exciting. And then we've also had an additional journalist come through here. So we're excited to see what comes from all of that. And here is some of our most recent media coverage. Cool. All right, sales overview. Teresa's also been really busy. It's nice to see her in the room. She has been all over the place doing site visits. She was also very involved with the GTE and attending a number of different trade shows. So doing follow-up with that. We now have a customer relationship management system in place that is sophisticated enough that we are, well, Teresa specifically is putting all the sales information into that, so we will be able to pull data out of that to give you all for future board meetings and requests that we get. I'll have an idea of the different markets where we are booking business and also the different markets where we are turning business away, and that will help us make better decisions about the trade shows that Teresa attends. To that point, I'm definitely not going to read this slide, but I wanted to make sure that you all had definitions of different hotel markets so that we can have a conversation about the next slide. Transient is what you think of if you are just going somewhere and you book a hotel and you're on vacation, right? It's also the same if you have a business meeting somewhere. So there can be a business transient and leisure transient, leisure being vacationers and business people coming for a specific meeting or an event. And then what Teresa spends most of her time doing is bringing group business here, and we'll get to that next, as well as SMERF. Have I missed anything major?
I can't see those slides.
it's a lot. So we're going to go to the next slide. The next slide, we do a little research. And this is ahead of us kind of continuing that midweek evaluation, because we've determined that midweek is our slow time. It's the time of opportunity. So we have checkmarked here where all of the ones that don't have an X would come midweek. So the markets that want to come on the weekend are the SMERF markets. So those are like military reunions, family reunions, social groups, weddings, and military. So those are specifically part of SMERF. And then peak season is when our hotels are the busiest. So September, October, April, May. So if they have an X there, that's when those people want to come. So the student groups will come during the week, but they want to be here when it's peak time. And guess which rates are the cheapest? The students. They want to pack 4 kids in. They want to pay nothing for it. They want to come through town. So not necessarily the most lucrative for us. However, they do love coming to Monticello. And so that's one of the things that we have to balance. So this was really an exercise in figuring out where that opportunity space is. What that looks like, and the rates that are requested through our office typically are on the left-hand side. And we gave you an example of October's average daily rate from last year, so you understand how that compares to the daily rates that we have here. And so that's for the entire month of October.
So quick question. So for weddings,
mm-hmm.
wedding guests are requesting $300, and if you could explain that.
So a wedding planner or somebody who's getting married, we're going to use wedding planner as an example, right, will get a room block. So they'll reserve rooms at a hotel. Typically, they'll have some other event at that hotel. Part of that package is we want those guests to stay at that hotel, and that's the rate that they would charge those guests. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they don't have to stay there, but it's often encouraged that they stay at the host hotel.
Courtney,
yeah.
The average rate requested, is that also October, or is that over the course of the 12 months?
It's mostly October, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's October.
Okay. I try to go up with the RFPs I receive and what they ask me is their bound or budget, and then I'll say, okay, I'll send it out.
So then it goes out, but it doesn't get picked up.
So the January numbers would probably look dramatically different.
They're significantly less. Yeah. But we're not getting as much demand in January.
Right.
For obvious reasons.
Like the student groups would be a midweek type of reservation, where the wedding would be a weekend. So that would be a big disparity.
Right. But those student groups wanting to be here in September, October, April, and May is where the student groups are problematic.
And what is wholesale again?
Wholesale is like planners or group buyers will buy direct through the hotel, and then they'll resell it, essentially. Did I do a good job with that?
So, like StubHub for a hotel.
Yeah. What? Like one of my, well, you consider
like Expedia?
Yeah, Expedia.
Expedia would be an example of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's an additional marketing avenue for the hotels, essentially. Any more questions, comments on this?
I just had I had the blessing of being invited to welcome the local government paralegal association a couple weeks ago, and they hadn't been to our market in 5 years, and to keep the cost competitive, they cut what was normally like an awards dinner, and that way they saved some money on folks' accommodations and registration. And had everyone kind of come up with their own plan for dinner, which the folks who attended actually felt really good. They felt really good about it. But I thought that was an interesting accommodation that they made to kind of overcome the rate of that the hotel was charging for the banquet dinner.
Yeah, that's a creative solution. Cool. All right. No more questions. I'm gonna move on. All right, visitor services. We continue to see some patterns emerge on visitation. We get disrupted when there's a hurricane here too, but we do have this office open when there's inclement weather. So we no longer have no service. We have service from this office, and we have a banner that goes up on the website to let people know where we are. But we've also been doing a number of different events. This summer, going into the fall, we've had a lot of brochure distribution. As Roy would say, print is not dead. So we do have a lot of requests that come in. And we've also had almost 100 international requests, which is exciting. And I will move on to destination development. All right, so we are working on a number of different issues. This is obviously leading up to the review of the strategic plan, but most of these are reflected in the strategic plan. Obviously talked a ton about outdoor recreation. Today, we are doing a lot of work on accessibility. We will have an accessibility landing page go out on Thursday. So we'll have a press release go out then. We've had a couple of different grants through Virginia Tourism. One, Rivanna River Company received funds to be able to have accessible kayaks and then also the training, and they allowed Parks and Rec and the city to have access to that training too, which was great. And then we'll have another one that we just got notified about that is accessibility and history. So we'll likely focus on different accessibility needs for that audience. That leads into the 250th. We are hoping that we have gotten a grant through Virginia Tourism for that
effort as well. But that's going to be a big moment in time. I was at the Friends of Downtown meeting last week, and they were wondering about fireworks and what all is going on with that and how we could really beef up the 4th of July, especially ahead of 2026. So I think there's a big opportunity there. And then we continue with our Tourism for All cohort. Done a lot of letters of support recently. We are working on a partner playbook and portal, and we have partnered with Economic Development in the city to host a Coffees and Conversations networking event here as part of our workforce initiative, and I think we're planning on doing that again in the winter. Yeah? But it was great to have people in our space who don't always get to come here, so it was mutually beneficial for both of us. And here's just some pictures of the team in action. Carla is touring around our international tour operators on the downtown mall, Coffee and Conversations, and Chris was on the panel at the Rivanna River Basin Community Conference, which is a mouthful. But he did a great job representing tourism in the outdoor rec space. All right, so any questions on the director's report before I transition into the strategic plan?
What is our new content manager's name?
Sabrina. Sabrina Combs. And she came from Three Notch.
Three Notch Brewing Company, yep.
So she was managing all the social media channels for all of their locations, and the brand, and the uncool non-alcoholic brand.
So she was basically managing like 8 different sets of social media channels for different locations all throughout the Commonwealth.
Yeah, so this should be easy. But one thing we really liked about her experience was that she had created a different voice and was receptive to the different ways that those markets needed to be engaged with. And that receptivity to that message was really attractive to us to be able to reach people in different ways. All right, so I have the strategic plan up in a different tab if we need to reference it, but I didn't really think that we needed to go back through anything, but I had a couple of follow-ups from our last meeting. Do you want to make highlight here that we have the strategic plan starting in July? So FY 2026 starts July 1st. That doesn't mean we're not working on this. We're already working on this. We're hoping that you pass it today and that we haven't been doing too much work in vain. But there was a concern at the last meeting that we'd taken on too much, so we cut a little bit back, but we also gave ourselves more time by starting in July. It also allows us to align it with our budget, which was feedback that I heard too, so that we are passing a budget, I'm presenting a budget in February that we're passing in April, that when the work starts in July, mm-hmm. instead of trying to do the reverse, which is very wise. And I think this will put us on a really good track. So that's why it says it's for this period of time, but obviously we're not going to wait until July to start working on it. So we still are following the tourism master plan's 5 pillars, but this chart shows you when we plan on making these strategic goals happen, and then which team is working on it primarily. So our promotion team is public relations, marketing, and sales, and our engagement team is destination development and visitor services. So a number of things, if they're already ready for promotion, they're going to fall with the promotional team. They need to be built up a little bit. We need a little bit more stakeholder engagement than they're with our engagement team. And the engagement team helps prepare that content, those itineraries, those stakeholders to be promoted. So that's kind of the pipeline. And then we revisit all that eventually as well. So. Our strategic plan goals for the next 3 years would be to develop that brand, that rebrand exercise that I mentioned earlier that we're working on an RFP for. We've gotten feedback that our name is really a mouthful, that our logo doesn't have a call to action in it. There are some justified, in my opinion, criticisms of our brand currently, and so taking a hard look at that and figuring out how we push that forward in a way that really resonates with the visitor and moves our message forward would be the goal of that.
On that
yes.
one, how are we going to be involved or not involved in that process? That process, and I guess I tied that to an update you had on you're choosing a new digital agency
to do this.
And that's a big chunk of your marketing budget is that digital agency, right?
So we haven't had a digital agency in several years. But this would be a decent amount of ask. It's my philosophy and the way that I like to work, and I think now it's Brantley's preferred way of working, whether or not he just has to do that because he reports to me, is because I just want an agency's overview and pay them for a short period of time for an actual project, and then we can handle in-house the actual creation of ads and where we want those ads placed and those kinds of financial relationships. So we would be hiring, we'd be competing for this company to hire this agency to help us with this plan. So it wouldn't be a long-term engagement, but it would probably be a significant budgetary engagement. We want to build that plan, but we could wait until next fiscal year to pay for it if we didn't want to pay for it this year. We do have a smaller budget than we've had in years past because the ARPA funding is gone to do promotion. It was my vision, and this is a good pulse check with you all, that we would embark on this process, we would hire this agency, we would have options, and then we'd come back to you all and say, and have the vendor come in and make a presentation on, here are two or three options to move forward. Because I know making things by committee can be exhausting and frustrating for everyone involved, I think that this board needs to be engaged in the process. So bringing options back to you all for your review, it was how I intended to move that forward.
Okay.
Yeah.
You mentioned about our organization being a mouthful.
Yes.
Okay, so are we looking at this other agency to look at our agency to redo the logo, redo the name, redo what exactly?
So,
and about how much are we looking at?
So the formal name would not change, in my view. We could have a DBA. We could go as something, but I don't think we need to change the CACVB's name to do business. I think we were thinking around 100,000.
100, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a lot. But I'd want to see more specifics as far as what we would, like an RFP, what we would ask them. This is what we're asking you to do.
Yep.
And for that to come before the board first, before we go out with that.
Okay. Because is there consensus that you would like to see the RFP before it goes out?
I don't need to see that. I have a couple questions.
Yeah.
I'm the director of marketing at Monticello. So this agency would also do the logo design, like they're doing that creative element as well.
Yes.
That alone would be very expensive. This is not the type of rebranding work that you can do in-house, or at least do in-house well. Mm-hmm. This game costs to play, so you have my full support because I'm trying to fight this corner myself. Mm-hmm. So I know what this is. But would love to know the agencies that like respond and if we can be helpful in reviewing RFPs in a way that's actually helpful, we'd be glad to do that.
Yeah, and I'm not thinking in-house. That was not my thinking. It was just, I guess, to know more about
what
we're
asking. They're doing.
What exactly they're going to be doing.
What we would be paying them for.
Yeah.
What's your anticipated timing?
So we're working on it now, the RFP now, with the hope that we would have something in the new year to be able to put out. It takes about 6 months, so the hope would be that I guess at this point by July, at the beginning of next fiscal year, that we would have it under contract and be able to work on it. So this is part of, this would be part of the budget ask in February.
So when would you want, like, new logo, new, like, when does that refreshed brand launch?
It would probably need to launch next winter.
So okay.
Like a year from now.
So that's like winter 25?
I mean, really,
2026 is just a really good opportunity for us with the 250th, and so that feels late. I feel like everybody's behind on 250th, so it's not like anything new, but I mean, is that a point of concern for you?
I mean, I would love, this is definitely a need.
Oh, totally, yeah.
I would love to be able to do it sooner. I just, if we want to have kind of touch points and things like that, I think we have to have a slower process.
Sure. Yeah.
And then, yeah, I mean, procurement says 6 months, really, for the ability to go through that process. And I don't anticipate this being a very straightforward one.
Do you have a short list of agencies already?
There are agencies that we would proactively email, but it has to be computed out to whomever wants it. So it'll go out through the EVA system, through the state, and then we'll have anybody and their brother who would like to have that piece of business bid on it. And then we'll have kind of a way of whittling it down. But the $100,000 price point, to Jen's point, is going to turn away a number of the folks that people in our roles would go after, because they're going to do it for $250 free. Yeah. So we're already kind of making it as budget friendly as we can. So it's going to eliminate some of the big players.
And last question, with the name, our name being a mouthful, if I go on to the internet and if I say Charlottesville Visitors Bureau or Visitors Bureau or Albemarle Visitors Bureau, do we come up?
I
haven't tried it, but I would think a lot of people don't know that it's Charlottesville Albemarle, you know, Visitors Convention Bureau. So,
I doubt the average bear knows to use the word bureau.
Yeah.
I think much more people are conditioned nowadays to think like visit Charlottesville, visit Raleigh.
Right,
visit,
but does that, do we come up under that?
We come up in a couple of different ways. One of those is organically through search engine optimization.
Okay.
So basically we built our website in such a way that when people type in certain terms like that, if they're looking for things to do, if they're just trying to find more information, we have that strong presence organically.
Okay.
But also, we run paid search ads as well.
Okay.
So basically, that allows us to appear at the very, very tip top of the results on Google.
Perfect.
So,
Thank you.
Yeah.
My question was, it goes back a little bit. You said that you've gotten feedback about the need for rebranding and everything.
Yes.
From whom?
It's part of the tourism master plan research that we got. We don't have a clear identifiable brand that I know our partners get really frustrated by Charlottesville Albemarle Convention and Visitors Bureau. I hear everyone say the letters in the wrong order.
Yeah.
So like it's a stakeholder issue. It's also a visitor issue.
Okay.
So, yes.
And when I attend conferences, they're not used to it. But I sit down and I have to explain who I am.
And most organizations like ours have gone to visit something.
Yeah. Are you resistant? Do you have any resistance to that? Because
I don't know that I do personally.
Yeah.
But I mean, we have gathered examples of.
Is this about the website URL now?
It is visitcharlottesville.org.
Does everybody know that?
And it's been there for ages and ages.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But there are ways of including Albemarle in the messaging so that it's not completely lost. If we were to go with Visit Charlottesville, we've collected a number of different examples in other destinations so that we could bring recommendations back that include it if that's what we want to see.
Yeah, are other markets doing like Visit Raleigh but including the outside as much, or is it mostly
Raleigh? Like, I feel like Visit Miami was Visit Miami, the Greater Miami, and Miami City Convention and Visitors Bureau, right? Which is its own problem.
I can actually answer this question. So Virginia is like the only state in the country where cities and counties are different independent legal entities. So everywhere else, especially in North Carolina, for example, because I'm also a bar attorney in North Carolina, it's a joint entity. So the city of Charlotte is the Charlotte-Mecklenburg.
Right. So it's already there together.
So it's a weird legal Virginia distinction.
Go figure.
It gets us into trouble with research all the time because they want to be able to pull a county and then it's not how it works.
It could be something with Central Virginia. But...
So we're going to come back, and we're going to have some ideas, and yeah, we'll see. I'm not sure that our friends in Green and Nelson and everybody else want us to take over their messaging either, so.
Can I ask a dumb, just like practical question? So do we ever, like, as this group, like, do focus session sort of situations about a particular issue like this?
We
like,
could.
Obviously, it's a lot to cover in 2 hours. Everybody has a lot of thoughts and questions and things like that, but like, what would that even look like?
So when I brought a vendor in before, like through
like
SIR,
the thing
right?
Did for the thing I can never remember the letters for.
So there was a tourism master plan process, right? And we had a couple of different checkpoints where we basically said, I said, I'm not going to give the director's report. I will hand it to you, you know, electronically, but we're going to focus on this conversation. What I want to do is have a vendor come in to focus the conversation because, and maybe that's, you know, surveying you all ahead of time. I want to have that conversation in a meaningful, streamlined, efficient way where we're getting everybody's feedback, but we're also not just throwing stuff out there too. But yes, we can do that. If it needs to be longer than 2 hours, then hopefully our vendor will let us know that that's their opinion on it too. But I want to be respectful of this board's time because I know you all have other things to do in your lives. All right. Speaking of which, we're on number one of the strategic plan goals. So let me power on through. Obviously, facelift of the website to reflect the new logo is the next one, and whatever branding we have. We do want to look at our long-term brochure distribution plan and either purchase or upfit our current mobile visitor centers down the line to align with the needs. So. Future SP, by the way, that next to the last column is future strategic plan. So you might see that on a handful of these, and I'll talk about it at the end. All right, fostering a welcoming community. This is where we're acknowledging that we are working on being more accessible. We want to develop ambassadors through extending the Tourism for All programming to really help instill that pride and inclusion when people come here. And this has been on my list for a long time, and we are working on pieces of it now. But to complete Destinations International's accreditation, our organization isn't actually accredited through Destinations International. And as far as I know, we haven't been. At least I've never found any paperwork on it. So we have been doing a whole lot of change, and I think we'll be in a good place for it, but it'll also help us recognize some gaps that we have, like a crisis communications plan that we're working on now. Strengthening community partnerships. So we'll focus on a promotional campaign with food and beverage partners, trying to tie ourselves together with the craft beverage story that we've been telling into a more culinary destination that helps us promote the city and the county together in a more cohesive way, since the bulk of the wine experiences are in the county. We've already talked about the 250th, continuing to foster that relationship with UVA and the foundation, and looking at midweek business, to develop this partner guidebook and industry communication strategy that helps us with being able to articulate our support for our partners. All right, enhancing the local quality of life. This is where the crisis communications plan came in. It was already on our list, but the hurricane made sure that it was highlighted, bolded, and underlined that, you know, when you're in Asheville not expecting to have hurricane floods, you really do need to be prepared for things. So we are working on that now. Supporting the outdoor recreation effort by really enhancing the web access is another big goal in the next couple of years. And then a destination stewardship plan or sustainability plan is in the coming years as well.
And finally, boosting sustainable economic growth. So, mentioned the midweek business. We will continue to keep an eye on it for the next couple of years, but we are waiting as more hotel rooms hit the market to see what that does to the market, what the conference center space does for, through the Virginia Guest House, and how that really impacts everything. Because our rates are higher than what people are asking for, where does that fall? And we just don't know that yet. So we can't study it yet, but as we showed, we can study it internally to the CACBB for the next couple of years and get more data on our side of things, and then hopefully hire somebody in the next couple of years to help us figure the rest out. So that's kind of a plan all of the years. Continuing to work on workforce, but developing a focus group specifically on our industry and where we want to head with that. We have a lot of different workforce needs, and we've had conversations with a number of partners, but aren't seeing them go where they need to go, PVCC especially. So this will help us focus on that in a couple of years. And then the downtown mall turns 50 in 2026 from a pedestrian mall standpoint, not from all of the buildings being there. So we have a huge opportunity to be able to have that be a call to have people come visit. But we have some work there to do too, which is why I had gone to the Friends meeting last week to try and start that ball rolling on how are we talking about ourselves and what does that look like and what are the stories we want to tell leading into that. And then finally, this slide is basically like, we're not going to do it now, but I wanted to leave it here because transportation and the interconnectivity, to Brad's point earlier, is something that keeps coming up, and so I don't want it to fall off our radar. We just don't have a lot we can do in the space, and we may never have much that the CACBB can do in the transportation space other than show up and participate in meetings. So we're keeping it on here to make sure that we're participating in those conversations as they happen, but not as an action item. And then the funding possibilities through destination development. We used to have an event sponsorship package that people, there was an application and there was a pool of funds. That pool of funds was much too large compared to our actual marketing budget. So we retired that, we put it back for a little while when we had ARPA funds to help restart those events again, and then we shut it back down again. But we want to keep open the possibility that we should have a way of getting money to our partners. We just need to create a process that meets the need for both them, but also for our marketing goals. And that wasn't really written into the event sponsorship process in the past. And then also that it's an equitable opportunity. Part of that is we don't know where that business is with paying their, are they licensed? Are they paying their taxes? Are they doing what they're supposed to do? And if we're giving them public funds, what does that look like? So trying to work out some of those kinks. So we'll be thinking about this over the next few years, but we don't have an action item associated with it at this time. All right, any questions on me going through those slides quicker than I needed to, I guess.
Did you drop any?
Completely? We dropped five plans or goals.
Five.
Of 30, maybe? Thank you. I think we went from 30 to 25. We were in here, we had all of the goals on the walls and combined a couple and we dropped a couple and we allowed ourselves a little more time. But overall, it's much the same.
Yeah. I would say that the crisis management and messaging, is, I hate to call it an opportunity, but it's like when you're talking about the post with the parkway closing down and seeing all that engagement and just seeing the board as a hub for information can get people to, you know, check in more often and just be a more reliable resource. I think that there's a responsibility with it, but it's an opportunity. It's a great opportunity, I think.
Yeah, thanks.
And Courtney, I don't have a question regarding the plan, but you mentioned something that I think is very important, is Asheville, for example, what just happened. How in touch, are you in contact with your counterparts in Asheville, for example?
I know Vicki, but I haven't reached out to her just because I know she's underwater.
I know, but like, there might be opportunities for us to maybe, like, if there are events that we're not able to host, either partner in some ways that could help us both benefit, you know, like, kind of like attract a lot of kind of like attention, maybe host a one-time event, you know, that we're supposed to be hosted in Asheville, maybe in our need time as well. Mm-hmm. There might be some opportunities for both cities to kind of like work together, because when you look at the pool of people that are traveling there, it seems to be a pretty similar kind of like town in a different state that's not that far either. So I was just
especially
thinking about that.
Paired with ways to help, you know, channels.
And also like maybe a good, you know, especially to market ourselves, hey, you know, Charlottesville partnered with Asheville to host X, Y, and Z. I mean, I don't know what that could look like, but it could benefit both both of our cities.
Yeah, I think you have to be really tactful in how you approach that, because otherwise it comes off as opportunistic. And I did see a local partner put a message out like that that did at least read to me as opportunistic. But that said, I think if we had local partners who were interested in doing that and wanted to have an approach that if you had a channel where you were raising money for the hurricane response as part of that ask, I think that helps with.
Don't donate $1 per beer sold.
Okay.
Apparently you can't do that.
Okay.
In case anybody was wondering.
No. Theoretically. Good to know.
No, not theoretically. Actually. Just don't do that.
You also can incentivize people to vote. This is your annual reminder, because we have a lot of that always comes out. Like, oh, come here and you can have a free beer if you show your you voted sticker with us. Like, you're not allowed to do that either.
Long history in this country, electioneering.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah.
Participation.
I'm happy to see where that goes. We've been in touch with Virginia Tourism to see what they were doing, and we wanted to echo whatever their response was, but we can reach back out to them and see what that looks like. I know Vicki has a ton on her plate.
But on a side note, they did announce the home will open up on November 2nd.
Biltmore.
And I've seen marketing of a lot of towns in North Carolina that are not Asheville, like Blowing Rock and things like that, are open. And they say these towns, Banner Elk, et cetera, Magnolia, these places are open. Please go there.
Billboards
are
out there right now.
I think the last one, I know it says future, but I think, and that's when you might focus really intently on it, but I think, like, if I'm just trying to think outside the box, like, if somebody came to us or came to us needing startup funds, or if they were asking for something and they had the idea of like a Winter Wander number 2, right? Mm-hmm. The creation of something that could be really impactful to our destination, but they need some assistance or help or whatever it is, and I don't know who that is. I'm being asked to find that by my bosses for our budget, but I think we would want to entertain that and talk to them and figure out, like, if there was a way for us to reallocate funds or figure out a way, if we felt like their pro formas or their business plan was fully vetted and was real versus just somebody that brought you a piece of paper and said, let's figure out this festival. It's going to be really cool. You know, like, I think we should listen to those, even though we might not have the funds or the plan yet fully developed or earmarked, because I think we would want to support something like that that could be impactful to the city, county.
Yeah, I mean, for an example of how we've done that in the past, when the NCAA Cross Country Championships were here, we had Mark Lorenzoni come and speak to this group so that you guys were aware. Their funding ask was $150,000, and so we didn't match that.
Sure.
But we certainly, if somebody has like a really well thought out idea that is going to have benefit, that's usually how I would do it. Is, are you at a place where you can come in and be the industry speaker for the next board meeting? We'd love to hear what you have to say so that you all are vetting that. And if you all came away with it like, oh man, we really need to get behind that, how can we figure that out? Then I think that's our vetting process for that at this point.
Yeah.
Are you talking about like an incubator fund, or are you talking about one-time pops?
I'm talking about a one-time pop. I don't want to have a fund that doesn't have rules and like isn't well thought out and all of that. But I also don't want to Russell's point, like leave an opportunity behind just because we don't have a mechanism. So that I'm proposing the mechanism of if somebody has one of those great, well thought out ideas that they come and present to this board and then we can take it from there.
Right.
Yeah, makes sense. Can we move to formalize the strategic plan? Can you pass it, please?
Attorney Penny?
I move to pass.
Is there a motion?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? You got it.
All right, guys, we can just work.
Go work.
All right, thank you all. I appreciate that a whole lot. Public comment. I know you had your hand raised, and I know that Tim's gone.
Yeah.
Is there anything we can relay to Tim?
I can ask him myself.
Super.
Okay.
Sorry. Anything else from our full member of the public?
Anything happening out at the airport?
Soon.
Good.
Soon.
Will you be able to report on that?
Yeah, I will.
Good.
No, what I wanted to ask Tim was, what was the status of the trail going from Boar's Head to Afton?
Three Notch Trail.
The Three Notch Trail.
Oh.
We heard about it 2 years ago, and then it's like went somewhere in the building.
I don't want to speak too much on it, but they did get funds to do a feasibility study, and I believe they were working to find some way to partner with to activate that, and they're currently working on it. So stay tuned as well for that.
Okay, we have board announcements. Anything any members of the board wanting to? I will come up with something.
Russ, this is a reminder that you have something.
Oh, you have something too? Go ahead.
TID.
Yes.
Okay.
Those are the letters.
Yeah. Tourism Improvement District. So I wanted to get have an open discussion about next steps, right? So we talked about the Tourism Improvement District and through a couple of our meetings. I think since one of our last meetings, we had a meeting of hoteliers at Francois's hotel, in which I think we had, 20 to 25, somewhere in that range, so just over 50%, or right around 50% of the hotels were there, we had a really good, robust discussion for about an hour about the TID and what that could bring and how they would have to be involved, and I think generally we had a really good consensus from that group that they would all approve moving forward if we went to that kind of if we got to that point, right? Because I think you all remember as part of it, over 50% of the hotels would actually have to approve the Tourism Improvement District because they're the ones that would be imposing those fees on their guests. And so I wanted to get with this group and understand what our next steps would be, because I think we talked about that in order to hire Civitas, the professional organization, to do the legwork of the whole TID and setting it up and working with the city and county, we need to give them a $75,000, not a retainer, but it's $75,000 fee for that work, and we would need to allocate it out of the CVB. It would be paid back once the TID is set up. That $75,000 is funded back from the TID. But wondering from this group, in order for us to give the green light and vote for that allocation, the $75,000, do you all feel like we need a letter of support that's signed officially by the hoteliers, or are we comfortable doing that? That's what our conversation was, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is everybody's thoughts there?
The reimbursement is guaranteed?
No.
No.
If they don't pass the TID, then the reimbursement
is lost.
There is nothing to reimburse.
That's right.
Okay. And does the 50% participation rate, does that have to be at time of creation, or does that have to be constant throughout the existence of the TIT?
No, it's just at the creation. Once it's in, it's you're in.
It's a 5 to 10 years.
But it's through that time frame, yeah, whatever the TID creation is. So I think she said it's usually 10 years.
Usually 10 years.
So what happens if there's a management change in the hotelier's?
They have to, wait, I'm sorry?
If there's a management change and they say, no, we don't want to be part of that. Right?
They have to be.
And that's the ownership level, not the management level.
Okay.
That's right.
Or if it's sold.
Same thing.
So it transfers.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And would everybody need to impose this tax once over 50% approve it?
Yes.
Yep.
It'd be mandatory on everyone.
Yep.
Okay. Cool.
Okay. Of whatever dimensions you chose.
Whatever area.
So if you said in this geography, but you have to have 10 hotel rooms or whatever the limitations are. So in Richmond, I think it's you have to have 40 or more rooms.
40 more.
So it's not a homestay, right?
No, I know.
But it also wouldn't be a B&B. It may not be a little boutique hotel. It'd be whatever that threshold was.
So it has to have a certain minimum number of rooms in order to be considered?
Typically, yeah. Okay. That way that you eliminate kind of...
And then do we know how many qualify for that parameter?
It would be whatever we set. So we haven't really set that. That's just Richmond as the example.
Okay.
Some it's all, some it's higher numbers.
And if a new hotel came into that geographic region, would they be required to be a part of it?
Yes.
Russ, I remember one of the questions that came up last time was sort of like, what is the threshold where this becomes counterproductive from a rates perspective?
Mm-hmm.
Did that group discuss that at all? Like, is there any sense of like willingness from an amount or a percentage or anything like that? Because the whole point of this obviously is to get more dollars into the CACDB budget, right?
Yeah.
I think.
Well,
from our standpoint.
From our perspective.
Yeah.
Was there any discussion about like, is this a 0.01% of, I think we talk about
1% and 2%. Yeah.
Like where it becomes counterproductive. Like
especially
you say willingness to pay, was that or willingness to play, so to speak. Like
right.
Was that based on any sort of set expectation around what the economic benefit might be of putting it into place?
Yes. We also had discussion about the recent increases in TOT on us and that kind of discussion of what is the tax thresholds that a guest would have. And I think we talked about a 1% to 2%. We didn't decide in that, you know, forum. But I think generally the group felt pretty good about 1% to 2% and benchmarked against what other destinations' current tax ceilings are. And correct me if I'm wrong, Francois. But I think, yeah, they felt pretty good in that 1% to 2%.
With rates kind of softening a little more apprehension about room rates.
No, I don't think so. I think everybody was fine.
So are you asking from this board whether or not we would put up to $75,000 now, or will you be getting us the information, the yeses from over 50% of the hotels saying, yes, we will do this, we signed the dotted line, we're committed, and then come to us or asking now that we would commit to that once you've gotten all the approvals?
Yes, I'm asking the board what your comfort level is. If you guys are having apprehension, do you really want us to go and get 50% of the hotels to sign and bring it back to you saying that they're committed at this level at least to do the study? This is not them saying they're
right.
going to vote it later on, but at least
a partnership to that level, I think it would make sense.
I think an understanding of what are the hotel properties and which ones are supportive would be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the other thing that would be helpful from my perspective would be, because the next step is that each locality has to adopt an ordinance. And I think having an opportunity for some of my finance staff to sit down with some of the, like Russ, maybe you and maybe Courtney or whoever the right folks are on the tourism side, just to understand the mechanics of how it works and for the fiscal agent and that so that we can think about what that legislative path, get an understanding of what that legislative path is ahead of the CACBB putting a financial commitment out would be helpful.
I would agree with that. I think it'd be helpful to also, I'm sure there was conversation about what the money would be spent on. I mean, I'm assuming advertising and marketing in general, but if there's any more specifics that they might add.
That'd be written in the plan, and that's put together by the hotel board, because that's who directs the money and directs the right. promotion back
but
to the
But there's a steering committee created through this process
right.
that would determine how the funds could be used, if they could be used for a hotel shuttle,
right.
for instance. So it's my understanding that the steering committee would be created of hoteliers, but also of city and county folks,
right.
so that everyone's at the same table to have those conversations.
And they're the one crafting the plan and the details of how it can be spent.
I mean, I think it would be helpful. What's going to happen when this, if this moves along and gets to the county and city level, is they're going to say, well, doesn't the CACBB do that? Or the CBABB, you know. So people are going to ask at that point. So if there's nothing clear or definable, like, oh, they want to do a shuttle, or they want to do marketing in Chicago, or they want to do, if there's nothing there, then people are going to go, do we really need to do this? So I think if, for me, I would want to see the signatures and the names and what their comfort level is, 1%, 2% on top of the current rate, and then what they might, not that they're bound to it, but what they would envision spending it on would be helpful, I think.
I do, too.
Do you have apprehension of, like, trying to get all those signatures? I mean, in theory, it should be easy, but, you know, tracking down people out of however many hotels we have, that's probably the only thing, but...
It's just tracking. It's just time.
Time,
yes,
yeah, getting it.
To actually do it. I don't have any worries that the people won't sign it.
Oh, then
we're falling behind the rest of the state. There's other destinations that are already starting to do this by following Richmond's. Norfolk's on it. Alexandria, I believe.
Arlington.
No, Arlington.
So I used to work
Got
for
the
Arlington.
A's wrong.
And so I have a call to my former boss to understand how she's doing it, because they're part of economic development for the county. They're a county department specifically. And so you have to set up a 501c3 that goes along with this, and Richmond didn't have to do that because they were already a 501c3.
Right.
So I'm curious on how Arlington is handling it, but didn't want to pursue it until we had a conversation about it.
So would the goal be, like, the next step for us would be to vote yes for the 75K, assuming we answer all
And then it's questions. A year from there, right? So we... Because Civitas needs about a year to run the actual process, about 9 months to a year.
But you're looking for approval of the $75,000 now, and then it's going to be a year before we have everything in place? Is that what you're saying?
Before monies would even be able to start being collected.
Okay, because Civitas needs that $75,000 in order to
do
this
their year
process
of work.
To get right. everyone to sign and everything.
That's right. And they do a lot of the legal work with the city, with the county, setting up all of the documents and the steps.
I would say that for me, I need a vote from the board to say that it's okay for me to help in this
right.
process, because this is advocacy now. This is a different function than what I usually do, and so I don't want to move forward with helping find signatures or craft language any of those things without this board's permission to do so, because that can put me sideways to the city and the county. So I want to be really careful about that.
Why would you be doing that? I thought that was going to be on your end with the hoteliers.
Well, You're thinking I'm gonna just go to every.
No, we thought you and Francois.
Yeah, no, I meant you and the hoteliers, or Civitas.
So Civitas can't do it until we've gotten the ducks in order, right?
So we'll be using your time for a long
time.
If approved by
team.
The board.
Yeah,
it's gonna be me, because my team has things that they need to do, so this is going to be Courtney's time.
She just needs approval to say, yes, we think that's a good idea, go for it, and then she goes and does that.
It's not the $75,000.
No, I know. But, I mean, how much time are we talking
about
on your
end? How much would you think this would impact your day-to-day?
And I don't mind helping, but I just can't do it.
No,
I can't do it all.
No, no, I just meant there was, you had others or a group or something.
Well, I think there's a big upside if everything comes together. And I'd also say that likewise with approval for you with, you know, getting the blessing of the county and the city, the same with the 75,000, right? Wouldn't they want us to have some kind of supporting information behind approving it? So I think that would mean that the letter would make sense.
Right.
Courtney, do you think this is a good use of your time?
That's what I was going to ask.
I mean, I think it's...
It doesn't work, but...
I think it can, it could be. I don't think I'm going to really know until I start doing it, right? Like, it's great to have a meeting, and people can be really positive in a meeting, and then when you tell them that you want their owner of their hotel to sign something, that might be a hurdle that could be hard. So, you know, I could fit it into what I'm doing in the next 2 months. I don't have, like, it's not as busy as it usually is, and I could report back at the December board meeting and be like, well, this is what it really looks like, because I don't have a good idea, because I have had firm boundaries on not participating in that to date.
Do you have the capacity to disengage if that's the case?
Yeah. Can you...
I mean, I won't be doing things that...
Or like being pregnant, where you got to follow it all.
Right, if it's too much work around December or January, can you be like, okay, this is not a good idea?
I mean, I'm proposing is that I would see how much work this actually is and then report back at the December meeting and go, oh, guys, this is a whole lot. Or, hey, I already have, like, a letter written and there are, you know, 15 signatures and we're on our way. I'm not going to know until I embark on it. But in kind of the larger scope of things, my focus has been a tourism master plan and a strategic plan. And guess what? Those things are done. So, like, big project-wise, I can't have the focus to do this. Just, you know, there are other things that come up sometimes. But my team is very independent, and they know what they're doing, so I don't have to hold their hands in their work, so I can focus on bigger picture things.
So how many hotels do we have? So the total number of hotels.
Okay, if that's the case.
The total number of hotels, you have 50% of those or a little more. What numbers are we talking about?
Star reports we have 48. Is it 48 now?
48
or 49. That's
48. 48 that you have the agreement for, or 48 total?
Total. In our market.
So we're only talking about 24 then, 26, 25. Okay.
And it might not be all 48. It might.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right.
There are a couple of those that really don't count as hotels.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's a big difference then. You have to get 100 or something. Yeah.
No, it's to the tune of 20 approximately. Right. Yeah. But from the ownership. So, like, the folks who are local are the general managers, right?
It has to be, or has to be, it can be the management company.
It could be the management company?
Yes.
Okay.
Because they act on the owner's behalf. Through their HMAs, are acting on the owner's behalf.
Okay.
When you first brought it up, I thought that it would be more of a consulting or advocacy, that you'd more be doing the footwork, the initial footwork.
Well, I mean, technically, you could pay Civitas to do of it.
We could all approve 75 today and move. But we're saying we want to do pre-work to the work.
You mean Courtney is going to do
pre-work.
Well, can't you just convene another meeting and have everybody sign and then bring it? That makes me more comfortable. I'm not real comfortable putting Courtney out there advocating for a private initiative.
Right. It seems like a conflict of interest or something.
A little bit. Yeah. That's why you've been reluctant to date.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Well, and I cannot lobby the city and the county. It's not a role that I'm allowed to have. The board can do that.
But if you're sitting down with these folks and asking them, would you sign it, you're essentially starting that process, mm-hmm. which is my understanding that's what Civitas would do once engaged.
Right.
The folks who were at that meeting were a handful, maybe one or two owners, and then general managers, but directors of sales. So I don't know that we can convene everybody in the room who would need to be the one who
the
signed
management company and
the letter. So I think that's going to take more work than a meeting.
Okay, but once again, if you're doing that, you're advocating for it.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a concern.
I think it's not as much of a concern if the board votes to have me act on its behalf in this capacity. But I'm looking at my attorney to make sure that that's...
Pardon?
She doesn't love it.
You don't love it. Okay, because we also, I mean, Juan Diego, Wade, and myself also have boards that we're going to have to report to also.
There could just be like letters of intent that not everybody signs one thing, but they sign their own version. It can just make it easier to do it.
I've been part of several things recently where someone emails me a letter of support, and I sign it. So I do wonder, is it just writing a letter and asking folks to sign it? How much footwork will be needed to land the
Some target? Of it will be very easy. Some of them, I can probably tell you there's six I can get tomorrow. And then there's going to be some that are going to need some more education behind it, you know, to get to the 20 that we're asking to kind of get to that. And again, I don't mind. I don't mind spearheading at all, but I can't. I might need her help or some of her resources that she has through lists or other things, you know. Like, I don't mind being a part of every single meeting.
I think she just wants to know if it's approved enough that she doesn't have to start some work and then later we all say, well, that's not a good idea, and then she already started it. That's all.
Or I get in trouble. I don't want to get in trouble. I'd like to stay employed.
Okay, that's the part I'm worried about. I don't think she minds the other part, but I think she minds it getting
what
in trouble.
What if I'm the person doing it, and then I'm just, if we okay her to answer my questions?
Yeah, that's reasonable.
100%.
Is that okay?
That's reasonable.
Yeah.
What are your questions, Russ?
Russ, you're just taking the temperature.
Well,
right
she
now.
Knows.
You're not asking for
she has some relationships with certain hotel owners or people that I probably don't. I don't know everybody in there. And so just helping connect the dots would be
I would feel more
helpful.
Comfortable that way.
Yeah. I think as long as it's industry-led at this point,
yes.
I think that's pretty
industry-led. Because that's what I believed from the beginning is this was all industry-led.
I'm trying to double her budget. I mean, that's all I'm saying.
The other alternative
because the county doesn't give her enough funds out of our TOT.
Okay, I didn't hear that.
No. I'm just following up on what Russ says. And the question is, it's not like I don't think that we're looking at it to the right angle. It's like it's not can we afford not to do this?
I'm here to protect her. Okay, from the county, I'm here to protect her. And then the city too. So I think we have to tread lightly, make sure it goes through, but tread lightly so that it doesn't point to Courtney, it points to Russ, who's acting as an industry person doing this.
It'll be like if Jay set up a thing of food restaurants. Yeah, restaurants doing the same thing. You wouldn't have Courtney be calling the restaurants.
Well, I think it's because you're in the business. It's like someone, I mean, I would take it upon myself, but yes, it's another thing outside of what I'm doing in some sense. Okay.
So I think we're not ready to approve the $75,000 today, correct? Okay, but we are. The board, let me know if we're looking at having Russ take the lead to do this, ask questions of Courtney, but no roads lead back to Courtney, and then and see how we end up in December. Am I hearing consensus on that? Do we need
it for you?
So I'm helping advise on strategy and the language in the letter and contacts for hotels. The end.
Are you good with that?
Yeah.
I don't really think you should be helping
advise
on strategy.
Okay.
So
letter
she's
language.
Source of information. That's it.
Yeah.
And contacts.
Okay. No advisory role. Okay. Got that. Okay. Do we have a motion?
I don't know if this is part of it or a separate related one, but the I would love to again get some of the county staff sort of initiated into what this all entails, and we could probably do that with the city for to make it more efficient. But I don't know if you have an opinion on whether Courtney participates in that or not.
No, I'm fine if Courtney's participating in that discussion. I think that.
And she'd be acting as CACBB director.
Exactly. In that discussion, she's not taking the industry side. She's on her island.
Okay. And I don't know if that needs to be in the motion or a separate one.
Can we put that in the motion? I put that in the motion to make sure that, like I said, my job, our job is to protect you and make sure that you're successful. So that's in the motion.
It's all of us. What are you talking about me?
Well, yeah, but you know, it's going to take.
Well, and also she's the CDB director of the people who are not part of this, of the hotels that are not part of this.
Right.
So that needs to be shown that you are also representing their interests as well, even though they may not be a part of this TID.
Does everyone, do I need to repeat myself regarding the motion?
I think that's a good idea.
That we're not approving the $75,000 today. We're going to have another meeting in December, at which point we will receive an update. Russ is going to take the lead for the industry, getting the signatures, and not advisory, but only Courtney will be there to answer questions or give a list of hotels, right?
Yep.
And then those two things, assistance but not advisory, and then we'll have a follow-up report in December to see where we go from there.
And that I'm also able to advise, sit in the meeting with the city and the county.
Okay, yes, and that you're, that you will sit in a meeting if we have one with the city and the county representatives, yes.
Yes.
Right, but do not use the word advise.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
Okay. All right, there's a motion.
So moved.
I'm sure you could. Thank you, Jennifer. Okay. A motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain?
Okay. All right.
I got that done. All right. That was easy. Okay. So I have an announcement, which was going to be 30 seconds, but, you know, I was usurped by Russ, is that Freebridge Lane is closing, and it's a little strip of road along the Rivanna River right next to Darden Tow. It's used as a cut-through. Anyone coming south on 20, they use that, go by the Elks Club, and then they cut through to 250. That's going to be closed, and we're having a little ceremony. I think it's November, November 2nd, we're having a little, you know, opening and everything, but the gates are being installed. So we're having a little closing.
Come on out.
Come on out for the closing.
Come out and get out.
And so it's a little bit part of Darden Tow for bicyclists, walkers, hikers, strollers, whatever. So anyway, we're really looking forward to that because it's enlarging Darden Tow Park a little bit, getting rid of an unnecessary road. So that's exciting. Any other board announcements? Okay, with that, we adjourn until
December 16th.
December 16th. Thank you very much, everybody.